Hey, everybody, welcome to Dropping the Gloves. Thanks for joining us. We are the official podcast of HockeyFights.com. If you want to watch me get beat up by New York Islanders, it didn't happen many. I got beat up twice. Go to HockeyFights.com and search Justin Johnson. He's a New York Islander, just goon, terrible hockey player, but he just buried me with a couple left hands. Got lucky, but what are you going to do? You can't win them all. It's funny I'm mentioning the Islanders because our guest today, you know, he's been through the good times, which is now. He's also been through the bad time. He's not one of these fair weather fans who just jumps on the bandwagon. And he's like, oh, the Islanders are hot. Rangers stink, whatever, whatever. Kevin Connolly is joining the show. Kevin, thanks for joining us, my man.
Oh, thanks for having me. Big fan, man. Big fan.
Really?
I really am. And are you? I love HockeyFights.com. Are you really? You guys are affiliated with the Hockey Fights? HockeyFights.com?
Yeah, official podcast.
That's fantastic. That's fantastic. Yeah, I've been a fan. I like to watch the tilts, and I like the scores. I like to vote.
So, what's your favorite part of the game then? Because the Islanders, we're going to talk about them a lot. You're like a fanatic for the Islanders. Their team's transition. When I was playing against them, they had every goon in the league on their team. What do you like more? The team from the early 90s, 2000s, or a team like they got now? They got some guys who can throw them, but they're a pretty skilled team.
Yeah, they're a skilled team. And look, I mean, as we know, I think the role of the enforcer has been diminished a bit. I mean, you know, I think in the NHL, especially to go deep into hockey, you need four lines of guys that can play the game. So I don't know that there's as much room for that. I was a fan of the era, but I also am a fan of just the game evolving. And truthfully, you know, I like a tilt with guys that don't fight, right? Because they're really mad at each other and they really want to fight. I'd rather see two lightweights fight than appointment fighting. Does that make any sense?
Come on. So you're telling me, okay, you're telling me you'd rather see Barzal fight a Nathan MacKinnon or who would be his weight?
Well, no, I see what you're saying. No, not that. I'm but I mean, a, like a Anders Lee fighting Tom Wilson. Now, Anders Lee's not a fighter. He scores 40 goals a year. He's the captain. But when he gets into a tilt, it's just different than, you know, look, I love him, but you know, Trevor Gillies, I don't know if you've ever had the pleasure of meeting his acquaintance in one way or another. You ever fight him?
Yeah. No, I never. I was lucky enough to ride shotgun to Derek Boogaard for a few years when we played the Islanders. So every time we'd play them, Boogie would be like, I got Gillies. And he would just absolutely destroy Trevor Gillies every single time they fought.
I have this great memory. I was at the Coliseum and Islander Ranger game. And I, you know, I would be able to, you know, it's funny. Lou Lamoriello was cut my access down a great deal. But back when there was nobody in the stands, I pretty much would come and go as I please. I'd just walk around. Nobody ever really said anything. And it was before the Islander Ranger game. And I'll never forget. I came around. I was like walking around sort of that bottom concourse. And I'll never forget this image because the hallway was empty. And there was Trevor Gillies. They're playing the Rangers and Boogaard's suited up. And Trevor Gillies is by himself in this hallway. I mean, it looked like a Rocky movie, just the way the light was. And he was, you know, he was shadow boxing, getting ready to get. Oh, yeah, man. He was getting fired up, getting ready to get his ass handed to him by Boogaard. He knew he was going to lose. So, but yeah, man, you know, listen, look, you know, you could talk all you want about, you know, the Islanders. Oh, this thing about the Islanders are boring. They're leading the league in playoff goals this year. They have the most goals of any team. No, not you. Eight. Not you. But if you look at the you know, God, social media, which is a cesspool anyway, so whatever. But, you know, it's, yeah, man, it's just there is a bit of a bandwagon for the Islanders, but there's also the opposite. There's people that just can't stand them for some reason, which never really made much sense to me.
Well, because you nailed it. I think people think of the Islanders. They go, okay, well, Barry Trotz, Lou Lamoriello, they're going to play the trap. They're going to lock it down. It's going to be super boring hockey because that's how they were when I used to play them. They were just a boring team that tried to eke out wins. But like you said, they got some exciting players. And I'm not just blowing smoke up your ass here. I picked the Islanders to go to the Stanley Cup this year. Before any of the run, I was like, the Islanders, they have the team. They have. I love the way they're made up. I think they're a really good team. And they got a little fire because of last year. They got, you know, they got outplayed by the Lightning last year.
Lightning's tough. Look, they're Lightning's tough. They're always going to be tough to get around. But you know, the Islanders have a lot of quiet leaders in that locker room. You know, I mean, Matt Martin and Cal Clutterbuck, Casey Cizikas, Josh Bailey quietly, you know, all of a sudden is a big game player. So they're not only are they deep as a team, but they're deep in leadership and in the locker room. And I've been fortunate enough to be around them, and they're a tight knit bunch. And it's, you see it on the ice. You know, it's a shame that Anders went down, but maybe they don't pick up Paul Mary. Who knows? You know, you never know how these things are going to play out, but yeah, man, it's, you take it a season at a time. Right now, I'm just enjoying. I'm just going to enjoy the run. Like I said, I just had a baby on Thursday, so she got trying to explain the importance of Game 5 to a six day old kid is complicated. That's for sure.
So is your wife just like crazy annoyed at you when you're like checking the score? When was the baby born? During the
baby game? The baby was born the morning of the game. So she was sort of sleeping, but I was listening to it. You know, the radio experience is different, right? Of course, you want to watch the game on TV, but there's something about watching a big game on the radio. You know, the commentators are so colorful. And yeah, man, I like a good radio experience. One day I'll tell her that her first game was a crushing overtime defeat at the hands of Brad Marchand.
Well, Tim's a huge Bruins fan, so it's funny that we're having you two on. So he's diehard Bruins. He actually hated
Scotty,
my guts.
Our producer, is also diehard, like next level. Like I would equate him with how I am with the Islanders. It's a slight tension in the office. But
who's got the worst fan base? The Bruins, because they're awful. Like they're so passionate, but they're just the worst homers.
Red Sox fans are the worst. I'm sorry. Everybody's going to be mad at me for that. But yeah, I mean, listen, the Flyers fans are no saints. And also too, come on, listen, the Islanders caught all that heat for whatever Tavares got. Somebody threw a Tavares jersey on the ice and like, oh, big deal. Come on. You know what's going on in Toronto. Can you imagine what's going on in Toronto right now? I mean, I'm sure half of these guys are afraid for their lives.
It's funny you mentioned the word saints because that got brought up by Mr. Cassidy.
Hilarious. It cost him $25,000 too.
First of all, what do you think of the fine? I think the fine is a joke. I don't think he deserves any kind of fine.
Well, I mean, you know, you look at some of the fines that they stick on players for a high stick, and it's like $5,000 to that guy. Who cares? But I don't know, man. $25,000 counts, and I'm not making light of $5,000, but $25,000 is a big, I don't care who you are. That's a big one.
Exactly. But he didn't say much. He just said, you know, maybe they're diving a little, they're getting some calls that they shouldn't get. They're not saints. And then, well, the reason I say that is because Trotz comes out in the paper the game before 5, and he goes, well, Bergeron's cheating in the faceoff circle.
Yeah,
and
it started. Yeah,
kicked
yeah.
out 5 draws.
Right. Well, that's what, you know, funny. Scotty and I, my producer Scotty and I were talking about, you know, when you, and you might know this, when you are outspoken like that against the official, does Boston get a couple calls tomorrow night or does it go against them? Right. I don't really know. You know, I mean, did the refs quietly go, these guys are fucking ass. You know what I mean? I don't know. It'll be interesting to see because now their eyes are on the officiating and I can't imagine that they like that. Hence the $25,000.
No, I guarantee you the Bruins will get a couple more calls because of that.
It does feel like it, right?
Yeah. It's human nature. You can say it's not going to affect you, but it'll second guess every call.
Right.
And it just happens. Tim, what do you think?
I think it will, only because like after game 4, when Trotz made those calls, like you said, Bergeron and Krejci got thrown out of like combined 10 faceoffs in game 5. So I think it does have an impact. I think you'll probably see that go the other way for game 6.
But, and I can just say this, Tim and Scott, my Bruin brethren, listen, you guys are the Bruins. Okay. It's like the Yankees. Like nobody wants to hear the Bruins can't complain about that kind of stuff. They're too big a franchise. They're bigger than the Bruins are like, they're a marquee. They're original six. They are original six, obviously, right? They're original six. Yes. It's almost like you just don't want to hear that the same way you don't want to hear the Yankees complain. You know, it's come on, man. They got the best line in the game. And I can say that comfortably. Come on. What are you talking? I thought, by the way, and I'll say this, Trotz is the best. I think it was beneath both of them, if I'm being totally honest. And whatever, maybe there's like some psychological warfare that I don't understand, but I don't know what they're doing there.
you saw a big disparity between penalties called between these two teams so far in the series. I think there's like six or seven more have been called on the Bruins than the Islanders, which is right. no small
and
thing.
If you look at, if you look at the regular season, the difference, the Islanders were Bruins took almost double the penalties that the Islanders took in the regular season. So it's not just relegated to this series.
Yeah, Tim.
It's not just relegated to the series. The Islanders
should it be called the same as the regular season, though?
Well, I mean, it's totally different. The point is that and I'm whatever, I'm going to get killed for saying this. They're just not as playing as disciplined as the Islanders are. That's it. The Islanders do not take a ton of bad penalties. Boston took a couple bad penalties last night. They did.
Boston. Tim? It is what it is. They're not. Boston is not as good of a team. Their first line.
Oh my God! That first line, though.
They're deadly. Every highlight I watch of the Bruins is of the first line. It's Charlie McAvoy. They have nobody.
Every shift is a power play. It feels like it every single time they're on the ice.
And is it me or does it feel like those guys play 40 minutes a game? I feel like every time I look at the TV, that these guys, they just give me great anxiety. You know, it's funny, John. You talk about. Yeah, I have been an Islander fan for a long time and through the lean years. And it's funny, the more meaningful the game, the less I enjoy it at this point. I hate it. I'd much rather watch like the Capitals and like game seven overtime, watching the Islanders and you know, game five in Boston. I was sick. When that score was 5-4, that last 2 minutes of that game, I was sick. It didn't feel good.
Do they have to close it out tomorrow? Or do you think they can survive a loss and get to game seven?
Listen, they won two games in Boston, which I wouldn't have thought would be possible. I think, you know, the emotions are high, and now you're at that same place where this could be the last game ever at the Coliseum.
Right.
Right. So does that emotion get the best of them? My guess is Boston has to weather that initial storm, which will come. It's going to be nuts, and then the game settles down. But it would be great to see the Islanders close it out in six, but I just have this like weird feeling that 2 minutes left in the third period of game seven, it's tied, and like it's just going to be a shit show.
Who's the guy for the Islanders that makes them tick? Every team's got the line. Every team's got the guy that kind of sets the pulse of the team. Who's the line or the guy that the Islanders look to night in and night out to kind of set the tone?
Well, I mean, I would think that, look, they have their, the Bruins have the perfection line and the Islanders have their identity line. I mean, listen, their fourth line, for sure, the best fourth line in hockey.
Well, let's just pump the brakes on the best fourth line in hockey. Montreal's putting out a pretty good fourth line right now with Stahl, Perry, and Armia.
They put points on the board. It's just a different role. You know, right. It's like these guys are all leaders. Those guys are all leaders, and they really are. They're the heart and soul of that team, along with Josh Bailey. And again, you know, Anders Lee, man, you know, he's got that C on his jersey for a reason. It is real.
I remember one time I was playing in the Islanders. We were playing, gosh, it might have been in the Barclays Center, that dump of a.
Oh, God.
It was awful. How happy were you that they came back to the
Coliseum? I mean, it's crazy. And not to mention, you know, you build a $2 billion arena and you don't, whatever. What am I, an interior decorator? I don't know. But you build a $2 billion building, you should be able to play any sport at the highest of levels in it. And it just wasn't built for hockey.
You don't know, the hockey rink, they didn't plan for a hockey rink. The scoreboard was over the defensive end.
Oh,
it wasn't over the center ice. It was a complete mess. The locker rooms were a joke. Everything was just set up for a basketball stadium. That's about it. It was a mess.
And they talked about putting the scoreboard on rollers, but because it's like an eco-friendly building, so you could with the roof, basically. Yeah, that's why. I'm like, can't they just put the scoreboard on rollers and center it? They're like, no, the roof is whatever it was. But, it looked good in theory, you know, the move to Brooklyn. But yeah, man, and then next year, the new arena, we'll see, because I think the Coliseum gives them a certain amount of fire and energy. It'll be interesting to see if they can carry that over to the new arena. Cause I think everybody, now that it's on its way out, people love playing in the Coliseum. Everybody hated it forever. And now people are into it again. Cause they're nutcases out there.
One of my best memories, because I hated playing in the Coliseum. There's nothing around it.
Right.
It's kind of a dump. One of my most fond memories was after pregame meal, we were heading to the rink and there was a bunch of caution taped around our hotel. And someone actually jumped off the hotel and tried to kill themselves. It was really nice. I was like, welcome to the island. It was really fun.
The Marriott.
Like, everyone loved me here.
Marriott, right?
It was, And it was just like, what is happening in this place? But I'll say this. I like the Coliseum better than Madison Square Garden. As crazy as it might seem, Madison Square Garden, it's a great rink. It's so dark and the fans aren't that engaged.
Right.
There's nothing like playing in the Coliseum and just feeling the energy when you guys are buzzing. It really is a different feel. The fans are right on top of you coming out of that tunnel. They're just heckling you. It's pretty cool. It is a great rink.
What did you make of what the Islanders did to the Tavares arrival back home game? Did you think that was a little much? Did that bother you as a former player?
It was fine. I thought it was fine. I wouldn't expect anything less. Like, you don't have to do the politically correct thing every single time.
Right.
You know, if you hate Tavares, boo him. Throw your jersey in the ice. I would have done the same thing. I don't
care. And also too, it's funny. It came out. It was like a 13-year-old girl that threw her jersey on the ice. They act like it was some teamster from wherever. No, man, it's question. You really think, honestly, I know you picked them to go.
Yeah, honestly.
You think they would have any shot at all against a team like Tampa, assuming they were able to sneak by the Bruins?
This year?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
You think they have a shot against Tampa?
I love their pickups. I like Palmieri and Zajac. I like the way they're built. They're exciting. Beauvillier is...
He's big game. He's big
good
game.
Player, man.
Yep.
And Josh Bailey's playing well. I just think that they're built top to bottom. The only thing that I worry is their defense isn't that incredibly strong. And when you go up against Tampa Bay, who have such a strong first and second line, that maybe might be a weakness. Gosh, when Marchand walked, who did he walk? Pollock? I was like, woof.
Yes, that didn't look good. Did you know that Garth Snow traded Griffin Reinhart for two picks that turned out to be Beauvillier and Barzal?
Is that right?
Yes. Like, you know, as great as Lou Lamoriello is, and listen, him adding J.G. Pageau and Palmieri, I mean, he's come through in both trade deadlines. But, you know, Garth, you say what you want, but hey, man, those are his guys out there. Brock Nelson, Bailey. I drafted Brock Nelson. Did you know that?
Yeah.
I up on the stage and said, with the 30th pick in the 2010, I swear to God, it's on YouTube. Check it out. With the 30th pick in the because it was at Staples Center in LA.
How do you get connected with the Islanders? Did they just find out you're a fan and it's just
they've been, I would go and sit there and there would literally be, 2,000 people in the building, but I just have always been a fan. I'm not a bandwagon jumper. I'm not I don't trade teams. It makes it more rewarding when they're good. But I think, when Entourage kind of popped and they were like, wait a second, this is the guy that's been sitting pretty much by himself in the Coliseum for the last bunch of years. And, I would pop a bunch of stuff on Entourage. And then finally they reached out. I've had a really good relationship with them. But, the truth is I live in L.A., So when I do go, that's what I was saying. If they get past Boston, I got to try to make it back for, one of these games. So we'll see.
Gosh, if they play Vegas, that'll be perfect. You can go watch a road game. That'll be great.
By the way, listen, if they play Vegas or Colorado, I'll be at all of them. That's for sure.
Exactly. So. Well, it is funny. I played for the Rangers for the Rangers just for a year when they were really good. We made it to the Eastern Conference final and there were celebrities at every game. Like the Jumbotron was just like a who's who.
Right.
It's like not right now. Was it cool being like the Islanders guy? Like, cause who else was there?
Yeah, well, but I never set out to be like the Islanders guy. I just sort of was.
No, but you are.
Yeah. Well, I also too. I made the movie. I don't know if you ever saw the 30 for 30 that I made about the Islanders.
I love that.
Right? So I did that, and I've just been a lifelong fan. So they've been really good to me. I've been included. It's now that Lou is around, but I remember when. When Matt Martin and those guys were rookies, I went on a road trip with those guys to, to where we did Carolina, Tampa and the Panthers. But, I showed those guys how to do it on the road. I'd never been on a road trip, but I showed them.
Well, it's a little different. It's a working trip for them still, but that's funny.
Yeah, but are you kidding? The guys that were all hurt, forget about it. With the injured guys, we barely made it to the rink. It was crazy. I'm like, guys, we should probably head over there, don't you think? Game time soon. I won't mention any names.
We'll make it after the first period. It's fine. That's good.
Yeah. So, I also did a pregame speech at one. It's a true story. I did a pregame speech in Tampa. Well, first of all, I got peer pressured by a bunch of rich dudes, Doug Waite and Rick DiPietro. Like, we got 5,000 on the board. Are you in? I was like, yeah, I've got, you know, whatever. So now there's 15,000-20,000 on the board for the guys. They're playing Tampa. And Dwayne Rolison was the goalie for the Islanders. And he had left and he got traded to Tampa. And he had a bunch to say on the way out the door. So Capuano was the coach. And he's like, Connolly, get in here. And I didn't know what to say. It was surreal. It was everybody sitting around. The clock is ticking. And I was like, listen, guys, it's 15 grand on the board. Let's blow this out of the net. And I turned around and walked. He never made it out of the first period.
No!
Oh, they can torch them. They torched them. It was fun, man. And, you know, it was like, it's crazy. They were so young, right? It was like Johnny Tavares was like a kid. It's like, buddy, it's okay, man. Lighten up. It's all right. We're having fun. You don't have to be at home doing push-ups. Tape, you know, Johnny wanted to be in his hotel room taping up the stick. You know, come on. We're going to a bar, Johnny. Get ready. I think let's go.
That's the problem with guys nowadays is they don't know how to cut loose.
Right.
You just go and have a couple beers. And I noticed that from when I started to when I finished, to where on the planes we'd get on and there'd be beers all over the place. Right. Like when I first started, the first 4 or 5 years, the last 5 years, it was just like protein shakes.
Totally.
We're going to put our compression shorts on and we're going to have a nap. And it's like, you guys are like losers. This isn't what I made it to the NHL for. I want to have a couple beers and play cards. And
right. Mike Bossy said, listen, we used to drink a cup of black cup of coffee and 2 cigarettes before every game. These guys are drinking protein shakes. I don't even know what's going on. But you know, listen, these guys take care of their bodies. They play longer. You know, so there's some value in it, but there's always a happy medium. Like, come on, let's, you know, we're going out. Tomorrow's an off day. We're going out, guys. Let's go. Meet in the lobby. 10 o'clock.
I've been on a TV show. Now that I've done some TV. Is there a correlation between actors and athletes and stuff like that? We seem to get along. Everybody seems to be super just relaxed and chill. Do you see like the crossover in Chicago? Vince Vaughn would come to the games all the time. It just seems like athletes and actors seem to just bond because they're always under the microscope or whatever you call it. Do you notice that just athletes are just...
I think that actors and athletes are sort of watching each other on different levels, right? So it's like as an actor, you're unwinding and you're taking your mind off and you're like, let's watch the game, right? It's like right now, my entire life is built around tomorrow night, like everything. that I'm doing is like leading up to tomorrow night. Right. So of course. And then I think the reverse of it is when you're injured. I've had countless people say, oh, you know, I was injured. I was out for the year and I watched all of Entourage, you know, I mean, lots of different. So I think it's happens in sort of your resting time where, you know, it's like not worried about the acting part of it. Like, yeah, watching the game, you know, it's sort of kind of a release, you know, it's like, Tyler Toffoli is a buddy of mine. And listen, man, as much as I love hockey, you can catch me watching the Winnipeg Jets, Canadians after that game 5 of the Islanders. But, you know, he scored the OT, you know, he had the walk-off last night, you know. So it's fun to watch guys that you know a little bit and especially when they're having success.
So the Islanders will get by the Bruins. I think that. I think they'll get by the Lightning. Who do they match up with? Who do you want to see in the Stanley Cup final?
I don't know, man. Those. Listen, I've always thought the West was underrated, you know. So I had season tickets to the Kings those years that they won the Cup. And I just didn't really think people really truly recognized how strong some of these teams out West are. They just don't, you know. So I think... You know, and I know you were on that team, but it's like the Rangers, like anytime one of the teams is from one of the Eastern Conference teams is strong, you just, there's people been sleeping on the West for a really long time. I don't like Colorado or Vegas. I guess Vegas, because it would be easier for me to get to games. you know, listen, it would be nice to get out of this round. And that's one of the good things about. You know, I remember this thing as an Islander fan for years. It was like, let's just get this, like getting in the playoffs was the thing, right? And then it was like, hey, let's just win a round, you know? And if you don't win a round, it's failure, you know? And there's the expectations have changed. You know, people expect the fans, everybody expects them to go and be a hard out wherever it is, whether it's with Boston.
Were you crazy happy that the Rangers just laid an egg this year and the Devils were just garbage?
You know, the Rangers, yes. I mean, you know what's crazy? I do think that kid Lafreniere is going to be, I know Pete, you might say, he had a whatever year, but he's just got, you watch him. I feel like he's going to be as advertised, unfortunately, for Islander fans. They're good. I don't know how to explain, you know, that kind of talent and a lack of production, you know, and that's another thing too about the Islanders. I mean, come on, talk about the goalies. Like, you know, you can't go wrong with these goalies. And I think, you know, you look at a team like Toronto and all that money and somebody's got to stop the puck, you know?
Yeah. Sorokin was good. I'm surprised they didn't stick with him, but gosh, when you got Varlamov, he's making what, Tim?
$5-7 million.
Like, he's a good goalie too.
And listen, I think he got raw. I think he could have very easily been a Vezina candidate this year, you know?
Varlamov.
Yeah. Look at his numbers. He's right there. He was on the cusp. Probably should have been a Vezina finalist. In fact, if he was on the Rangers, he would have been.
I don't think he had the amount of games needed. Because I had Sorokin. I've never played fantasy hockey. I played it this year for the first time. And
that's,
I had
weird.
Sorokin.
Fantasy hockey is different than fantasy football. It's definitely.
I love football. Like, right. So,
fantasy hockey is a little more involved. Yeah.
It's too much, but it was Sorokin played a lot. He played good. I think that's what caused Varlamov. What did you think when they played Sorokin so much in the first round? Were you just shaking your head? Like, what's going on?
Well, listen, you know, again, Tim, look it up. Look up Varlamov's numbers, bro. He could have been a Vezina candidate. So, right, you play the hot goalie, right? So Sorokin struggled, and then your other option is a guy that probably should have, you know, been a Vezina finalist. So they're definitely good problems to have, obviously, right? And I mean, I think you saw it last night. I mean, you know, the Islanders definitely put the points up on the board, but Varlamov stood on his head. I mean, you know, I don't know. And I think Tuukka Rask is good. Is he hurt? I don't believe anything that Bruce Cassidy says anymore. I don't know what's real, what's fake. To me, it looked like they pulled him. It looked like he got pulled.
Oh, no, they pulled him for sure.
They did, right? He's not hurt.
No, and they're going to save him for next game. Yeah, right. When they went down 5-2, they're like, listen, this game's done.
Right.
Let's save him for next game. And then all of a sudden, they're like 5-3, 5-4. It's like, whoopsie, maybe we should have kept him in the game.
Right. Well, you can always put him back in, right? Maybe that's a bad look.
He's eating a hot dog. He's not coming back.
I don't know, man. Shit. He was sitting on the corner of that bench looking pretty pumped. So I don't know. We'll see. It's going to be...
Yeah, Varlamov was number two in goals against and number four in save percentage. I think probably what knocked him is he played maybe 5 or 10 less games than the other guys. But still, he's much higher than I thought he was.
There you go, Tim.
Well, there you go. Kevin Connolly, I had no idea. You're so well-versed with the New York Islanders. So, Tim, you got anything else? Because I got a bunch.
One more question. Barzal, seems like he's getting better every single game. And I know you haven't been able to watch all the games given last week. I mean, what's the ceiling with this guy? What's it like watching him kind of become a superstar? Because not only learning how to play well, but learning how to play in the playoffs too. And you're seeing it more and more every shift, it seems like.
Yeah. Also too, I mean, you know, the system is set up differently, right? I mean, I think if he were somewhere else, he'd be putting up these, you know, his numbers would probably be bigger. And I think it might feel like his production is less, but like, look, it's all about timely goals. Right. And, yeah, listen, he didn't really show up much in the Pittsburgh series, and you just knew it was a matter of time. And when you get through a team like Pittsburgh with a cold Barzal, it's just a matter of time before he heats up, and he's red hot, and he needs to stay hot for at least one more game, that's for sure.
I don't think he needs to be red hot to be good. He's an effective player. He's not like one of these one-dimensional guys who needs to just score goals or nothing. You know, right. He's a good player.
He creates space, right?
Yeah, I think he's a good player. He's not, I hate to bash on Ovi, but no, Ovi does more. He hits, he jumps around the ice. I don't want to McDavid. I bash on him enough. But anyways, I know you got to go change diapers. Have you got it down yet?
I'm getting it down. Listen, it's instinct. You know, my girl is always like, oh, be careful. She says to me, this great quote, you know, you have to hold the baby's head, right? I'm like, really? I do. I can't just.
Oh no.
I can't just like let the baby flail around. Yeah, I know. I have to hold the baby's head, please. You know, like she talks to me like I'm a caveman. I'm like, yeah, I know. I'll hold the head, and then you know you do the 2 feet. Yeah. So, oh, listen, I can change a diaper in the dark with one hand, and I can swaddle. You must be a great swaddler, bro. 6 kids?
You have no idea, Kevin. If you haven't listened, 6 girls, I've been through it all. I know.
You can swaddle. You can swaddle.
I know how to do everything.
I'm still trying swaddle to learn to get my swaddle everything game down. So,
but anyways, man, I don't want to keep you anymore. I know you're busy. We really appreciate you jumping on. Let's do it again sometime after the Islanders. They'll win tomorrow night. I have faith. But anyways, thank you
I'm
for coming on.
I'm superstitious. I don't want to say anything yet, but I'm getting death stares from my producer, and I'm sure you're getting them from yours as well. But yeah, man, we'll see. Tomorrow is going to be, man, I'm going to have to start drinking early. I'm going to have a couple in me before that puck drops. A couple beers.
Have some rest.
A couple white claws.
All right, Kevin. Thanks, right. My man. Thanks
for coming
guys. On.
We'll talk to you
soon. See you,
bud. Cheers. Thanks for listening to Dropping the Gloves with John Scott, a member of the Nation Network of Podcasts. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts from to never miss an episode.